Make It Right, the manufacturing podcast.
Supply chain management can mean many different things depending on your business. But my guest this week sees every single person within your organization, including suppliers, logistics, and warehousing, as part of the supply chain. And that interconnectedness means anyone can upset the flow and function of this system. Daniel Stanton is a global executive with expertise in supply chain management and project leadership, who's also known as Mr. Supply Chain, and he's the author of the best-selling book Supply Chain Management for Dummies. Last week on the show, he talked about how the supply chain is evolving and the trends he sees for the future, and I encourage you to listen to episode 67. This week, he shares some of the career and skills development opportunities within the industry and also some of the challenges. I'm Janet Eastman. Welcome to Make It Right. So in your book, you actually talk about the dominant paradigm and the need to be constantly pursuing it. So explain this.
Right. So this is a really interesting concept that's come out of MIT. And the basic idea is that we get used to things being a certain way, and that really shapes our whole thought process. Mm-hmm. So Like if I said, I got a new phone, well, we'd all assume that I was talking about a smartphone, right? So you get this image of a small device with a glass touchscreen and a bunch of apps, and it connects to the internet. That's what a phone is. That's the dominant paradigm for a phone in 2019. And even though there are a lot of companies that make phones today, they all basically conform to that same dominant paradigm. But, you know, then you stop and you say, well, what was the dominant paradigm for phones 10 years ago? Well, 10 years ago, it was like we were probably past bricks, but we were probably talking about a flip phone, right? Uh-huh. And then if you go 10 years before that, like the good old days, well, the dominant paradigm for phones actually had a cord attached to it. So that's what disruption is all about, right? When the dominant paradigm changes. Part of what makes disruption so hard is that you have to overcome all kinds of issues with perceptions and expectations that are tied to that dominant paradigm. And the other thing that happens is there's generally quite a bit of infrastructure that gets built up around that dominant paradigm. So when a paradigm is disrupted, you need to make sure that, you know, you're a part of the disrupting force, right? You want to be out in front of it, because otherwise your whole business is in danger. And we're seeing that all over the supply chain, right? So you've got companies like Amazon and Uber and Tesla that are all trying to disrupt dominant paradigms. And truthfully, some of them are having a lot of success. So the big lesson is to look up and down your supply chain all the time, from your products to your technology to your processes, and look for places where innovation could provide an opportunity or where there's a serious threat to the dominant paradigm, and just make sure that you're staying in front of it.
So what are some of the big challenges that supply chain professionals need to be looking at right now? Like, what do you see that's sitting there on the horizon?
Well, there's a lot, right?
Yeah.
that's big, and that's part of what makes it so interesting and exciting. But I think there's a lot happening on the technology side that could hit us, frankly, pretty quickly. So blockchain is one example where when you look at it, blockchains could disrupt the paradigm for the way a lot of supply chain processes function. Then you've got the Internet of Things, IoT, right, where all of our devices start talking to us and to one another. That opens up some really, really interesting opportunities. There's all kinds of new software in the pipeline. And while it covers a pretty broad range, what a lot of it has in common is it's being powered by machine learning and artificial intelligence, which just flat outperforms what people could do when it comes to analyzing large data sets quickly, right? And so I think that could really disrupt a lot of dominant paradigms for how supply chain work gets done. I think we're waiting to see what the real impact of things like social media and the sharing economy are going to be in supply chains. But, you know, when you think about it, it's not that hard to envision ways that you could apply concepts like what Facebook and Uber are doing to really improve collaboration and asset utilization in lots of supply chains.
So explain that a little bit further, because I don't get the picture.
So let's use the social media piece, right? And the one that everybody thinks about right away with social media is Facebook. But I'd also put in that category LinkedIn, of course, and Twitter and Instagram, where people are contributing and sharing information and connecting to folks that they wouldn't traditionally have a direct connection to. So, you know, if you look at a supply chain, let's say you go retailer, back to wholesaler, back to manufacturer, back to tier one, to tier two, to tier three, with a bunch of logistics providers in the middle. What's sort of typical in today's paradigm is you would have potentially direct connections to two other parties in a supply chain, right? Your supplier and your customer. And everybody else you don't know and you don't have any way to communicate with. But why is that? And what benefit could there be to having, you know, to leveraging social media? So, you know, you're starting to see examples of that. Actually, an example that comes to mind a couple of days ago, a friend of mine was having issues with somebody at a store he was trying to buy something from, wasn't able to get it resolved directly. Frankly, the person handling his issue handled it really, really badly. Well, what did he do to resolve that, right? I mean, in the old days, you might go try to talk to the store manager. Today, you just go on Twitter, right? Mm-hmm. And if you think about that in terms of a supply chain, you know, you could tweet and you can tag the retailer and the manufacturer and a whole bunch of other folks along the way. And so it sort of gives you the ability to instantly connect people that otherwise, you know, historically either wouldn't have been able to communicate, or it would have taken months and months and months to, you know, write in a letter and wait for somebody to respond to it. So, you know, sort of maybe a more practical example for a manufacturer is if you catch something in inbound inspection that doesn't look right, you know, rather than sending a report back and maybe getting the issue, you know, resolved in a month after your supplier or your tier two or tier three had continued with that problem and created a whole bunch of waste, you can see how social media would let you get to the source of the problem, do root cause analysis, and resolve it much more quickly without having to build out an expensive infrastructure to enable that communication.
Okay. Were there any other points, any other challenges that you think that the supply chain professionals need to be looking at right now?
Supply chain folks really need to be focused on developing their own careers, right? I mean, we live in a time when you can't sit still and rest on your laurels because, you know, what you've learned that about the profession and about the work that you're doing today, because the work is changing so fast, you need to make sure that, you know, you're learning and growing and staying out in front of that.
And I think I think that's probably true of anybody's industry, right? Like things are changing so quickly all the time. It is really hard to stay on top of that, but you have to, otherwise we're all going to get left behind. So when you're looking at the supply chain industry and the careers that are there, and I think of, you know, young people that are looking at their futures and wondering what to do and, you know, what's the opportunity here? You clearly are Mr. Supply Chain. You are fascinated by this industry. But if you were talking to young people thinking about where they wanted to go with whatever interested them, what's the opportunity here for them?
So that's a conversation that I have so often that I actually created a whole LinkedIn learning course about it.
Okay.
And the title of the course is Careers in Operations and Supply Chain. Because supply chain is such a broad field, that truthfully, I think there are opportunities at different levels and in different parts of the supply chain for folks with a lot of different backgrounds and educations and interests. And so the key is to kind of do that self-assessment, right? What do I like to do? What am I good at? What am I qualified to do? What will people actually pay me to do? And then match that up with the opportunities in the supply chain and start put together, you know, either, you know, some folks will call it a career roadmap. I've heard other people talk about it as a career matrix, right? Mm-hmm. Of, you know, where am I trying to go? What are logical, reasonable steps along the way? Where am I at today? Okay, let me get started on that journey. But I think, you know, on the one hand, it's really, really useful to have a plan. And on the other hand, we don't know what the future holds, and we don't necessarily know how the world around us is going to change. So while we need to have a plan, we also need to be flexible and adaptable and probably update and adjust that plan based on the realities in the market. What I can do is, you know, provide some general guidance, right, for what I think folks should be doing for their own careers. Mm-hmm. So, and this applies early on, but I think it applies throughout your entire career as a supply chain professional. So like you were saying, everybody knows that they should be doing some professional development, right? But it's just these days we're all so busy that like nobody has time for it. And I get it. But the ironic part is that these days layoffs and downsizings and mergers, they're just routine. It's just the way business is done. And part of the benefit of, you know, what we do driving supply chain improvements a lot of the time is the elimination of labor costs, right? That's how we get savings, is, you know, by improving efficiency and reducing the amount of labor required.
Yeah.
So logically, I mean, you'd really think that supply chain folks would get that and would put a high priority on their own professional development and their networking, right? I mean, that stuff you should just be doing all the time, because you know that's the way the business works. So I'm a big fan of reading. You mentioned my book, Supply Chain Management for Dummies. Everybody chuckles, right, when you hear the title. But I'm a big fan of the Dummies brand. Like almost everybody that I know does, or at some point in their history has owned a Dummies book. Mm-hmm. Because the truth is we all start out as dummies anytime we start something new. And that's what those books are for, right? So, you know, why is supply chain different? Why not just cover the basics with supply chain management for dummies? And I think that's what it does. The book has been a bestseller for almost 2 years straight. I've gotten great feedback because, you know, what the book does is it breaks down some pretty complex supply chain stuff into simple explanations and lots of examples. So several folks have told me that they bought copies for their whole staff because, you know, for salespeople, it let them communicate better with their customers. And for operations folks, it let them communicate and sort of talk to each other instead of talking past each other for a lot of the work that they're doing. One company in particular that like created a weekly book club just to get everyone on the same page when they're thinking about supply chain. So in the book, I give links to lots of other resources too. Specifically, chapters 19 and 20 are all about supply chain career options, like what you were asking about earlier.
Yeah,
what are the different jobs? And the different education and certification options that map to those different career options. I've also got several courses up on LinkedIn Learning now. We talked about the careers in supply chain and operations. We got another one called Implementing Supply Chain Management, and one that's weekly tips for operations and supply chain professionals. Those are like super easy ways to do a little bit of professional development whenever and wherever you've got a few minutes. So there are courses on inventory management from my friend Stephen Brown, who is a professor down at Arizona State. But then, you know, there are courses about things like Excel pivot tables and negotiation skills and just all kinds of really useful stuff that honestly, I'll just say, I think everybody ought to be taking at least one course every week, right? It's just, it's that easy. And there's so much good stuff up there.
Well, and one thing always leads to another. You look into one thing and you do one course and you kind of go, well, that's kind of interesting. And then you're off down another rabbit hole checking things out. And then suddenly you realize you've amassed a whole bunch of knowledge that you never had before, which is fascinating.
That's exactly right. Like I say, I mean, I think if you're not spending at least an hour a week on your professional development, like by taking a course, then you go, then you got to look in the mirror, right? Because not only are you, you know, getting the benefit of the learning and the knowledge and hopefully, you know, the efficiency improvements that you get from it, right? The hour that you spend taking a course hopefully translates back into hours saved in the future or additional money and other, you know, kinds of value to you. But at the same time, you can demonstrate on your LinkedIn profile that you are learning and progressing and, you know, either in your current role or for, you know, other roles in the future, having that history up there, letting people know that you are a learner, that you're developing these skills, says something really positive about you as a professional.
Mm-hmm.
The other one that I think folks in the supply chain really need to be paying attention to is the MITx Supply Chain MicroMasters. So this one, I just think is really pretty amazing. And I think it's an example of disruptive innovation in supply chain education. So I did my master's in supply chain at MIT about a decade ago. And when I did that, my wife and I had to pick up and move to Boston, right? Today, you can take basically the same courses that I took. You can do it online. You can do it for free.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
That's pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. And thousands and thousands of people all around the world are doing it. So if you want to get a certificate for it, they make you pay a little bit for the courses. But truthfully, even then, it's pretty cheap compared to a traditional on-campus education. So I haven't checked on it for a little while, but I think there are five classes plus a final exam, and they're $200 each. So for like $1,200, you can get this hands-on, rigorous graduate-level education in supply chain management from MIT. And it's totally online.
That's so amazing.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so honestly, when you think about that, what would keep anybody who's serious about supply chain education and investing their career from doing it, right? I mean, the barriers to entry are so small. It's not really about the money. It's really just a question of whether you've got the commitment and the capability to go do it, right? To learn it and to study it and to, you know, get the credentials. So like at some point, I can totally see that, you know, we'll be interviewing candidates for a supply chain job And you'd have doubts about anybody that have completed that MITx MicroMasters. In addition to books and classes, you know, the other thing I'd say is I'm a big believer in networking. So I think folks should be involved in some kind of a professional organization. And, you know, part of that is attending meetings, going to conferences, because those relationships, you know, truthfully, I mean, they can be helpful in your day-to-day work, right? Having folks that you can reach out to, ask questions, learn from their experiences. But those relationships become gold if, you know, either if you decide that it's time to look for a new job and move on, or like we were talking about earlier, if you get caught in one of these downsizings, you know, that network is your first step in finding the next opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, one of the other things that's changed there is that online networking has really become a lot more important.
Yeah, you can meet people from all over the world. It's great.
Exactly. So along those lines, I'd invite your listeners, please follow me on LinkedIn and Twitter. Should be pretty easy to find. Just search for Mr. Supply Chain. And I share stuff all the time, you know, ranging from what's happening day to day to blog posts and links to other resources that, you know, can be useful and help you learn about supply chain or you know, do things better in your own supply chain, or look for, you know, a new career and help you with the journey.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, we talked about, you know, people are so busy about going about their daily lives and their business and whatnot that they don't have time to do this continuous learning. But, you know, the day will come, because it comes to all of us, when suddenly you have way more time than you thought you were ever going to have, because jobs change, right? So you have to be prepared for whatever might be coming down the line, and build that network and build that education so you're ready for it.
That's exactly right. You know, it's like, I think a lot of us in college, you know, you see this, and I see it all the time when I teach too, right? That you get the assignment on Monday and it's due in a week, and somehow or other,
I know
all
exactly
of the work gets done on Sunday night, right? And you know, part of what we need to get to as professionals is, all right, I got the assignment on Monday. I need to do a little bit on Tuesday, a little bit on Wednesday, a little bit on Thursday, so that whatever last minute stuff I have to do on Sunday is really just polishing it up and you know, making sure I'm ready. And that's what we need to do with our careers, right? It is, you know, at the end of the day, you're working for a company and you're providing value for them, but who you're really responsible for and accountable to is yourself and your own career. And you need to have, you know, capabilities that are marketable and that will let you, you know, kind of a tool set that you can pick up and, you know, use somewhere else, either, you know, if you decide that there's a better opportunity or if the company that you're working for decides that they aren't in a position to keep you on staff any longer.
Yeah. Daniel, thank you so much for being so generous with your insights and your time. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you, and it sounds like Zippy probably wants some attention.
So Supply Chain Dog has got her 15 minutes of fame now. So,
that's right.
Right?
Yeah.
Janet, thanks a lot for having me on. It's been fun. I love the podcast. I love what you're doing. And I really appreciate the chance to hang out and to spend a little bit of time with you and your listeners. So thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome, Daniel. Daniel Stanton is the author of Supply Chain Management for Dummies. He's also a LinkedIn Learning instructor and the president of Secure Marking. And that is our show for today. If you have a topic you'd like to discuss, please do get in touch at makeitrightpodcast@gmail.com. You can also find us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube, and follow us from the various links on the podcast page at lucidi4.com and subscribe to the podcast with our RSS feed. I'm Janet Eastman. Thanks for listening to the Make It Right podcast.